Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 26 June 2019. And I am feeling better this week. Holy mackerel, looks like I might make it through an entire week without some strange disease attacking me. At any rate, Walt Williams, by the way, if you don't know who Walter E. Williams is, he's black. He writes for Lou Rockwell. He says the nation's most dangerous big cities are Detroit, Oakland, St. Louis, Memphis, Stockton, Birmingham, Baltimore, Cleveland, Atlanta, Chicago, and Milwaukee. The common characteristic of most of these cities is that they have predominantly black populations, and blacks have considerable political power as mayors, city councilmen, chiefs of police. Energy spent on reparations should be used to solve these problems. And I've got some solutions there, but he goes on to say, as of 2014, U.S. taxpayers have spent $22 trillion on Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty. And he adds, in constant 2012 dollars, adjusting for inflation, that's three times more than was spent on all military wars since the American Revolution. If money alone were the answer, the many issues facing a large segment of the black community would have been solved. There is another possible reparations issue completely ignored. Blacks, as well as whites, live on land taken sometimes brutally from the American Indians. Do blacks and whites owe American Indians anything? Very interesting. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yeah, hello, John. It's very interesting that you know the story about Abraham Lincoln. If you don't mind me elaborating on that just a little bit.
Shoot.
To let your listeners know. You're right. He's a Springsteen. They changed their name to Springs. See, Nancy Hanks was impregnated by A.A. Springs. There was no Thomas Lincoln. They pulled him out of a hat, that name. That's why you can't find information about Lincoln's supposed real father, which didn't exist. And so he was a half-brother to Leroy. Springsteen changed their name to Springs to hide their genealogy, because they're related to the Rothschilds. And Leroy Springs was his half-brother. And Leroy Springs worked with the Pesor family. So you get to see how all the bloodlines continued. The history has been so distorted for the average person. And so it was, in reality, the Rothschilds who had Lincoln killed.
You know, it's rather fascinating. Even my liberal friend in Chicago, you know, when I told him, I said, you know, everybody knows that Lincoln was a lawyer, but you didn't know his last name. And I said,
yes.
and this issue, and I says, and it's in my 1860 pocket constitution. We had a 13th
yeah.
Amendment, and they pretended like it didn't exist, and they came up with their own 13th Amendment after the Civil War. And wait a minute, what happened to the old one?
Yeah, and you want, and also, Nancy Hanks, his mama, was related to the Collins and the Todd bloodlines, and they're the most powerful in the country, in the world. See, so everything is interrelated. And to make matters even more curiouser, if there is such a word.
Curiouser and curiouser. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember William Quantrill. He was affiliated with the Jesse James gang there. Mm-hmm. He married into the Springs family also.
But the one thing that was never really made clear is why they stuck the Stein on the end of Springs. Springstein.
I don't know, but they changed it to Springs to hide their genealogy being related to the Rothschild. And you want to hear something even more strange? Jesse James' father, I think, was the first one who fired the shot that started the Civil War. So in other words, everything is so interrelated, and this has been kept from the public for so long. You really have to dig for this information. Your average person doesn't realize this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, in other words, you know, he went afoul of the Rothschilds, Lincoln, apparently, and they did him in themselves. And John Wilkes Booth was the fall guy, and by the way, he wasn't even killed. He lived to a ripe old age, too, under a different name. Everything we have been told has been a lie.
Yeah, well.
Everything. It's amazing. And for the average person, it takes some research to find this out. Apparently you did. Yeah, it's just amazing. I just had a call when you mentioned that to inform your listeners how complicated it is and what's been kept from them.
Well, do me a favor, Chance. Shoot me a question at my email for my guest tomorrow. That ought to be fun.
Who's your guest tomorrow?
Oh, you missed it.
Yeah, I just tuned in.
Well, it's the guy that founded Air America.
Air America, is that, it's on the tip of my tongue, I can't...
Air America, the radio network that failed?
What was his name?
Sheldon Drobny.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And he wrote a book on the myths of American history. So,
was a lie.
everything is right up your alley. So do me a favor, Chance. Shoot me an email at johnstatmiller@hotmail.com with your question or your comment, and I'll reiterate to people, don't write me War and Peace, because I will not have the time or the inclination to read all of that. Just make it sweet and succinct. And I've asked people also, Chance, to be polite. Let's show the liberals out there that we're not a bunch of meanies, because I disagree with you. It gives me the right to smash your face or your storefront. Yeah.
Oh, they know we're not meanies. They have an agenda. You know, they know we're not meanies. They're just sticking to their agenda, John.
Well,
John,
you know,
by the way, did you get...
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say... that it's rather fascinating to me that people don't even understand what socialism or liberalism or all that stuff, how that ties into what we're seeing today. And always a time of national crisis or discontent. Things aren't going the way that they want them. Instead of examining what went wrong in the system they have, they just went up and change it, make you a whole bunch of promises, and oh, by the way, you're going to have to pay for it, of which they really don't want to tell you about. You know,
well, I know, because my family escaped the communist country, so therefore I heard the stories. But that's no reason why your average American shouldn't read and learn from history without having to be in that situation that my family was in. People just don't want to learn and read anymore.
Well, after a while, you know what you're dealing with. It ain't right, so why use the brain power to figure out right and wrong? That's laziness. That is a perfect recipe for destruction of your society or your culture, most assuredly. And what it allows the luxury of the ne'er-do-wells that want democracy out there is to go ahead and repeat all the stupid, dumb mistakes all over again without learning from past mistakes.
That's why they hide the information from us. They want us to repeat the mistakes. By the way, John, you should have gotten your donation today. I sent it out, I believe Friday, either today or maybe tomorrow, I guess.
Okay
John, I'm gonna let you go. God bless you and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Chance. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Nick in Arizona. Hello, Nick. Hello, Nick. Going once, twice, three times for Nick. Okay. Nick will have to call back. Is there anything there? Okay. Does he want to? Okay, he's there now. Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Is this John?
Yeah.
You, I'm not going to be able to write to you because I have macular degeneration, but the question I would like to have you ask your guest since the 13th Amendment was nullified and replaced, and every amendment after that was to undermine the constitutional protected God-given rights under the Constitution, the question you have to ask them is, what do you have that you do not have to pay the federal government, the state government, the county government, or the city government for the right to use it, keep it, or throw it away? This question was asked in Odessa, Texas in 1962 by a fellow by the name of Richardson. And he was offering $300,000 to everybody in the audience over and above what they paid for the item.
Wow, $300,000 in 1962. That was
about
a fortune.
It's $3 million or better today.
Yeah.
Your dollar has been reduced 2,400%, the paper dollar, and the $20 gold coin has been reduced 5,000%. And there's no more free speech in America because they've taxed the food you get the energy to talk with. So there's 281 federal taxes on every mouthful of food you eat or more.
All right. Well, Nick, I appreciate your call.
And they're asking that question. Even the Jewish people are suffering from it because Abraham Lincoln did deliberately get into that war to kill Christians. And Judah Benjamin was also involved with Jefferson Davis, and there were three other people in his cabinet that caused that bloodshed. And as far as the black people needing reparation, they should thank God for this slavery, the slave traders who brought them here, because they got it a hell of a lot better, even as slaves, as most Africans do, suffering with starvation in Africa.
Well, and there was slavery in the North that they don't like to talk about. Anytime you talk about the North, you talk about things like the Underground Railroad, the escape for the Southern slaves, and so on and so forth. But they never go into the true history of where this slavery emanated from, who was involved in it. And it's like, okay, now they want reparations to pay for who? The people that have been emancipated? I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I got a dictionary from 1860, and it says the definition of the word niggardly and niggard, N-I-G-G-A-R-D. Mm-hmm. And it's polluted, corrupted, vulgar, and offensive. And the word niggardly element is one who is covetous, overbearing, brutal, miserly, stingy, parsimonious. And you look in the dictionary today, you'll find one or two definitions of it. They don't give you all seven of them. And the federal government operates under the niggardly element caused by the Jewish element. Because both Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, if you do not exclude them in 200 years, their children will curse you in your grades, and they'll be servant to them and giving them substance.
All right, Nick, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you know, this has always been a bailiwick of mine, with the police and their attitudes. And pretty much unchecked, I am
the lawgiver.
Judge Dredd, yeah. In a rare move, cop charged after video showed him shoot a tiny chihuahua. Source, the Free Thought Project, which covers this extensively. I don't cover 1/50th of what these guys post, But this one grabbed my eye. And in Conway, Arkansas, a graphic video was taken in January, which showed a Faulkner County Sheriff's Office deputy shooting a 9-pound Chihuahua simply because the dog's owner refused to walk to the road to speak to him. Immediately after the shooting, the department responded by saying no policies were violated. However, after further investigation, the officer was quietly charged several months later, and it barely registered in the media at all. Now, the officer in the video was Deputy Keenan Wallace. He was formally charged with cruelty to animals in April and pleaded not guilty to the charge last month. He's now due in court on July 8th for a pretrial hearing. If he's convicted, he faces up to a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. As the TFTP reported at the time, the incident happened on January 4th when Wallace responded to a 9/11 call from a woman who made a complaint that the tiny dog chased after her. In the video, Wallace asked Kennedy to come to the road to talk to him, and Kennedy replies that he will not. That's when Wallace threatened to kill his dog. The dog's name was Rhesus. Kennedy refused to come to the road once more, and Wallace immediately draws his pistol and shoots the 9-pound dog. After shooting the tiny dog, Wallace draws his taser and chases down Kennedy as the dog yelps in agony. Clearly, Wallace is no longer afraid of approaching Kennedy at this point and proceeds to detain the innocent man without reason or probable cause. Indeed, the only person who'd committed a violation was the deputy himself. But I've yet to see one of those guys arrest himself. You ever seen a cop put cuffs on himself? No. In the incident report, Wallace said that he was 3 feet from the dog when it reportedly lunged toward him, adding that when the dog lunged, he pulled out his gun and fired one round into the animal, striking it and stopping the threat. As another deputy shows up, the video ends as Kennedy is noting that he will not let this shooting go unanswered. According to the NEA report, the sheriff's department was called by an unknown woman who allegedly claimed that the tiny 9-pound dog was being aggressive toward her. Kennedy told NEA report that he's never seen this woman in his neighborhood before, and she was apparently walking by his house when Rhesus, the dog, and a group of other little tiny dogs barked at her. Oof. Oh, the horror. According to the report, the woman pulled out a gun of her own as the dog barked and pointed in the direction of his home. After the dogs barked at her, the woman called 911, and that's where the video picks this thing up. Now, Kennedy, who is an emergency helicopter pilot who spent 21 years in the military flying Blackhawks, says he's had negative experiences with the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department, which is why he chose to avoid the confrontation with Wallace. As the video shows, he was right to do so, as it could have been him that was shot and not his dog. Luckily and near miraculously, the dog survived, and the shot and donations poured in to help his surgeries. As C.J. Ciramella noted, to the extent that the dog posed any threat to the sheriff's deputy, there was no attempt, at least in the video, to resolve the situation with anything other than lethal force. The deputy didn't ask Kennedy to restrain his dog. He didn't attempt to use a less-than-lethal alternative like the taser he was armed with, and which he subsequently drew on Kennedy. He simply pulled his gun and shot to kill. Now, folks, let me stop and digress here for a second, because this is the norm in America today. This is why when you have the warrantless or the searches and seizures, you know, when the dynamic entry and they kick in your door and they yell at anything that looks like it might be alive, and they basically swear at it, try to intimidate, point their guns. If a dog barks when you break into his domain, they consider that to be aggressive. Guess who goes first? That's right, the dog. And all the while, their little teammates have their eyes on everybody else to see if there's weapons that are being drawn. They put themselves in a position. Now, here's the really strange part about this. They escalate and put themselves in a position that might be harmful to them. I guarantee you, anybody bust in my door, they're gonna regret it. They may not live that long to regret it, but that'll be their final thought before they shuffle off the mortal coil. This is stuff that you don't do, okay? But This is the norm, as I said, and not the exception. A little bit more on this and more calls when we return.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me on what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas. She says, what? I said, Texas.
Yeah, evidently that song's being played in California, because guess what we're getting? We're getting all the liberals who are coming in Texas. I just have one cautionary word for you. You do know where you're at, right? You're in Texas now. After this shooting incident, after being bombarded with phone calls from angry residents at the time, the sheriff's department responded to the shooting by firing this Mr. Wallace. However, they were quick to point out that no policies were violated. Oh, it's now a policy, huh? Well, you can shoot dogs. Since taking office in 2017, the statement says by Sheriff Tim Riles, I have been an advocate of integrity, professionalism, and transparency. I hold my deputies to the highest standards to protect and serve the residents of our community. Unfortunately, a deputy fell short of those standards. I was notified Friday of the incident involving Deputy Keenan Wallace. Deputy Wallace fired his service weapon that injured an animal while in close proximity to a citizen. I believe there were numerous opportunities to de-escalate the incident. Over the past 24 hours, at my request, Faulkner County investigators have been working diligently to investigate whether Deputy Wallace violated any state law or our own agency's policies. Agency and their policy, inconstitutional. It's just the rules they want to make up for themselves, folks, and then foist it on us. While it appears no policies or laws were violated, I hold every employee within our agency to the highest standards and will be forwarding the investigation to the prosecuting attorney's office for further review. I'm sure. As a result of the incident that occurred on January 4, 2019, in the Shiloh Estate Subdivision, Deputy Keenan Wallace has been relieved of his duties at the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office. Well, the Three Thought Project says they applaud the sheriff for taking action despite no policies being violated. One would think that shooting a tiny dog is absolutely no threat, however, would be a policy violation. Now, luckily, months after he was fired, someone came to their senses and charged him with animal cruelty. Now, folks, animal cruelty because the dog didn't die. But let me tell you something. One of their canine dogs, they consider to be a fellow officer. Injure one of those teeth-bearing animals, injure that or kill that dog, and it's the same as shooting a cop. And woe unto you. Now, by the way, this Wallace has a history of shooting, too, as he was put on administrative leave in 2017 after he shot an unarmed man for attempting to flee in a vehicle. The department found, as they did this time, that he violated no policies. So if you're doing a traffic stop or attempting one and the driver doesn't want to stop for you, well, just pull out your gun and kill him. That's not violating any policies. Here's a civil infraction. Guess what? If you don't adhere to the civil infraction, I've got the right to pull out a weapon and kill you. That is what this is saying. And the cops wonder why they get no respect. This article will be posted from Blacklisted News on our website. And I'm doing that right now, Sam. So take a look at this and post it up. Hey, folks, this has gone beyond crazy. They're not willing. And the reason why, in my belief, the reason why they're saying that these cops do the most egregious things and they do everything to get them off is because they do not want to take up the issue of what the standards should be. So as far as I can see, they have quite liberal standards on the use of firearms. And some of these things, when the adrenaline's pumping and these boys are bashing in doors and drawing automatic weapons and yelling orders and shooting dogs and people, and you know that adrenaline factor is up there. Some of these cops have never been in a gunfight, so you could imagine what their adrenaline, and more importantly, why their veins are being coursed by this adrenaline, the mistakes that are apt to happen. Without thinking, boom. They're taught to react. You see a threat, just kill it. 9-pound dog, really? I had a neighbor in my cul-de-sac that went away for a weekend, and it happened to be a weekend that the temperature was about 108 degrees. And I heard this dog yelping and yelping and yelping in their backyard. Well, evidently, during the night, the dog broke free. And he still stayed at the house, but anything moved within a couple hundred yards, this dog was barking his full head off, showing his fangs. Well, the police showed up, the animal control people, and this woman was scared to death of this dog. I said, the dog is more scared than you are. Treat it accordingly. And I took care of the dog for her. She had absolutely no idea what the hell she was doing.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. Some good stuff tonight. I wonder if I could circle back to the reparations issue, because there's some things that a lot of folks really aren't talking about. And to set it up, I would put it this way, that most types of people, whether they're white, black, brown, whatever, they're split them into two groups. One group wants to really better themselves and will do all they can to get educated and all that.
Right.
The other side of that group wants everything handed to them, so they're going to go on welfare and get all they can handed to them. But in the case of blacks, it's kind of unique, because before we calculate any so-called reparation benefits to them, we should really ask, let's get a calculation of what are they already getting. And when I say that, I mean, let's add up all the free college education they've been handed. And this has been for about two or three decades now, as far as I can tell. Numerous blacks have gone to school for free or for very little money out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find funny is about this Cory Booker idiot. He went to Stanford, Oxford, and Yale law school, and I guarantee you, I bet he didn't pay hardly a dime out of his pocket for any one of those educations. he's up there crying about reparations, you know, almost daily, you know, for that matter.
Well, you bring up a good, Wayne, you bring up a good point, because there has been absolutely zero people that I've met in my life that value anything that's just handed to them for nothing. It's taken for granted, and the sad thing about it is that white, black, I don't care, any stripe of American, a large segment of this population believes in entitlement, that they're entitled to this free stuff. And, you know, I give you California, that has been run by liberals for how long, and look at the state is in. You know, we talk, even Donald Trump broached this during the 2016 campaign trail. He said, look, he says, money alone is not going to fix the inner cities. There has to be other solutions. And if for no other reason, you know, this is how I explained high school, why you should do high school. If you look at it from the approach that this is something that's required of me, I'm going to dive into it, I'm going to get it done and get it out of the way. If you do that, you exercise a certain amount of self-discipline, which is very, very important for people in their lives making decisions, life-changing decisions, to know enough to have facts so you can make a good decision. These people have been schooled in how not to think. And it is a shame. $22 trillion, Wayne, since the Great Emancipation and the giveaway program by LBJ, $22 trillion, and the cities, the inner cities, are in worse shape. There's something wrong here.
I don't think we got our money's worth, John, that's for sure. And can you continue on a couple more points? You know, I tried to start a small business back in the 80s, and when I sat down with a banker to get an SBA loan, because I read all this stuff about being an entrepreneur, and, yeah, I need a small loan to get some inventory and all that, the guy practically laughed in my face saying, son, you're wrong color, you're the wrong gender, because as we see it now, all that money that's guaranteed is going to go to blacks, minorities, and women. And so that was a real eye-opener there. And then when I tried to get some federal contracts, same thing. There's a whole list of different options that blacks can get a guaranteed federal contract based solely on color.
You know, and you bring up an interesting point, because there has been a lot of talk about building up the inner cities, creating businesses that blacks can shop in, and so on and so forth. That doesn't happen. It does not happen. I don't have a number, but there are scads and scads and scads of black preachers out there. It seems like there's a lot of small black preacher organizations and little churches and whatever. Why are not they getting together, walking the streets of Chicago or Philadelphia or Baltimore? Why are they not going out and talking to the people? Why are they not there? And why is it that all these major cities are being run by liberal blacks? And their only solution is, we need more money for our schools. We need more money for this. No, you've been given a boatload of money, and you've not done the proper things with it. That was Donald Trump's whole point.
They've not been made accountable either. You know, nobody has sat down with them and said, okay, we gave you all this money. Where is it gone? Where are the results? Where are the actual statistics that tell us that this money was well spent? And I guarantee you, they cannot even come up with anything, you know, for that matter. So, you know, again, and we're talking about blacks that really, you know, want to make something themselves. And on the other side, you have the Section 8, you got the food stamps and everything else for those who don't want to. Mm-hmm. And that $22 trillion, I bet you, you know, is, you know, a good chunk of that has definitely been, you know, those kind of folks. And again, there's probably some whites in there and others too. But again, we need to start fighting back a little bit on this and say, hey, you know, show us where, you know, you're not received a ton of benefits already.
Those
who want to make something themselves.
Wayne, you're a racist. That's what you're going to be called. You talk about subject matter such as this. It's almost like talking about even Jewish policy, the United States versus Israel. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. You're anti-Semitic. Oh, why? Because I want to understand why we're joined at the hip and why you're such an important ally in the Middle East. Please tell me what my interest is in this. Oh, no, but we'll just nip it in the bud right then and there, and we'll just call you a racist.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know me, and prove it. Prove that I am. I'm telling you truth. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, they
and
don't. They don't.
Right back in their face.
And this is one of the things that I'm going to do tomorrow. It's through the perspective, through the eyes of a liberal of how he thinks. You know, I want to crawl around in this guy's head a little bit and see what's really in there. You know, because the guy is a CPA. He's a venture capitalist. And I'm thinking to myself, really? And you're a liberal and you're a venture capitalist? How in what universe does that work? And the issue here again, immediately when I'm having this conversation with this guy, I'm saving it for tomorrow, by the way, is the issue of money. And why people, there's a lot of people on this planet and a lot of people in this country that don't have any income and they need entitlements, they need handouts. Why is that? You're a venture capitalist. You tell me. Well, I already know the answer to that because I've been talking about it for 27 years. So it's going to be a fun show, and I'm going to remind people, only one person has sent me an email. And Wayne, I want people to email me at johnstatmiller@hotmail.com with their question or comment. Make it pithy. Oh, I stole that. Make it pithy, okay, and be polite. One thing I don't want to demonstrate to liberals is that we're somehow justified in us being monsters of the Midway, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try and call in a couple of questions I'm kicking around because there's a couple of things I think liberals need to understand about the structure of this country and how it should really be ran. And, I want to put that together and then see what he says and then maybe have a comeback because I guarantee he's going to start backpedaling right away.
Well, I can guarantee you if he's with me for the whole 2 hours, there's going to be a lot of phone calls tomorrow. I can guarantee that. And I thought about this and I thought, you know what? I've never done this. This opportunity presented itself and I thought, okay, there's some basis here for conversation. The guy was in radio. He started his own network. I'm in radio. I started my own network. You know, he referred to me as being right wing. I just consider myself not even to be white. I don't even think about my color. I don't wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, wow, what a handsome white guy. I'm glad I'm white. You know, I don't think in those terms. And I don't look at people and the strange thing happened on the way to the Roman Forum here, Wayne, is when I see an accomplished black man, I have admiration for them. That they worked, that they tried to achieve, that they did achieve, that they brought themselves up. I have the greatest amount of respect for that, and I'd like to be talking about that more, but I keep looking for examples, and I don't see that many.
Yeah, well, they're definitely out there, you know, and I try to pay attention to some of these young black men in restaurants with their young families. And I tell you, I'm very, very impressed in some of the stuff I see where their kids are well-mannered, they're attentive fathers, you know.
Yep. That's if
and
the father
kind of
and Wayne, that's if the father is in the household. What we were discussing here was payments by the government and helping the poor family. Well, then why was it structured? If you're trying to help a family, that you pay them more for the husband or the father not to be in that household.
Looney. All right, John, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate your call. Steve in New Mexico. Hello, Steve.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you. Do you listen to Jeff Rantz?
No.
At all? He's going to have William Dean on tonight. And it's, you know, he's with Alipac. And they're going to be, he's going to be talking about this new, amnesty that Kushner's come up with. And they may, they're going to try and pass it. And of course, Alipac's been the one that stopped him 10 times already. And then, of course, we had that little bit here in February that, you know, they told Trump not to sign, but he signed it. So I can't remember exactly what was in it, but this is coming up. I think William said it'll be this Friday before they take off. But, yeah, if you can listen to that, it'll give you something extra, you know, talk about and stuff. And everything. So, yeah. And the one other thing, when I was being brought up, I was brought up through the 60s, and my mother always told me, you don't look at the color of the skin and stuff. You look at what, you know, about the heart. And that's what I've always kept in mind all these years. And I've had really no problem, you know, black, Hispanics, or anything. So,
You know, it's kind of strange, Steve. The other day I was in, are you listening, Steve Elkins? You're going to love this one. I was in Taco Bell, and they were extremely busy, and their drive-thru was lined up, and I am standing inside the store, and I placed an order, and evidently it went past the viewable screen or whatever happened, and my order was not forthcoming. I spent a total of about 15, 20 minutes in that place, but I'm watching, and they were two black women and a young black man. And I'm watching them, and man, it's boom, boom. They are cranking out these orders. They're working in unison. It was teamwork. Well, I've never seen in a fast food restaurant before.
Right.
And the guy came over to me, and he said, "Your order?" And I said, "I'm still waiting." And he went and backed up the screen, and there was my order. They had missed it. So what the guy does is he collects for the order that I'd placed, and then he gives me a free, you know, for making me wait so long, a free meal deal. And he signed it, and he said, "Here you go." And I looked at him, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "You got two strikes against you. You're black, and you're a Christian." Because he said to me, he said, "Have a blessed day." Now, here was a young black man, good-looking guy, too. Here was a young black man that knew the meaning of teamwork, knew what his job entailed, and he had compassion for making this poor guy stand in the restaurant for 20 minutes. And when I said that to him, he looked up at me, and he had the biggest smile on his face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It was like, well, I started, you know, playing in sports and, you know, being a quarterback in high school, I had one of my running backs, which was black, but John and I, we always got along. He knew what I had to do. He knew what he had to do in the assignments.
And it was what? Teamwork. You have to depend. Teamwork. You had, Steve, you had to depend on the other guy to do his job so you could do your job. Bingo.
Yeah.
And you know what? And now that you said that, in the NFL, there are a lot of black people that came from nothing, and I mean worse than nothing.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. And just hold on. And came from nowhere, and then understood what a good work ethic could produce. That they weren't just there in college for scholarship. A lot of these guys took this opportunity seriously and went, "Whoa, I got a chance to get an education." They made the sports the secondary, even though that they're there on scholarship. Their priority was secondarily. Education was the first, sports was the second. But they were good enough to get into a high-paying job. It may not be 20, 30 years, but it's an extremely high-paying job. And a lot of these guys learn the lessons of life just by going through the NFL and what it takes, the diligence and the work and the study and the cooperation with other people to get to a desired product. In the NFL, it's winning. That's what it's about, winning games. So, you know, there's a lot there that's positive that's, you know, I don't want to see guys standing along the sidelines, kneeling or whatever the case may be. These guys, they're in the sports world and how they're paid, it's the elite of the elite, you know? And I saw this when it first started, and I went, "Geez, Kaepernick, what did you do, you know?" Anyhow, we got off subject there. But, Steve, thank you for your call.
Yeah, and I remember Vince Lombardi, and I watched the whole program on him.
Yeah.
Not that he only worked with him on the field, but he worked with him in business.
In business and personally, there is a lot of personal integration that happens in the NFL between teammates and even past teammates and past coaches. They call it the lesson of life, and it's one that they value.
True.
Yeah. All right, Steve, got
to
let you go.
I sure hope you'll listen to Rents.
I don't make it a habit to listen to Jeff Rents. Okay. All right.
He has some good people.
I understand. Thank you for your call, Steve. You're going to love this one, folks. Like I said, we just report it, we don't write it, and we don't make it up. Cancer test row. Men who identify as women are being invited for cervical smear test even though they don't have a cervix. You can't make this stuff up. This comes from the Sun. They're
They call it New Sight of the Year. Well, thank you. However, women who identify as male are not being offered crucial routine breast screenings or cervical cancer checks. The writer on this, got to give attribution here, Chloe Kerr. She says, women who identify as male are not being offered vital routine breast screenings and cervical cancer checks in case it offends them. Wow. But men identifying as women will be invited for cervical smear tests, even though they don't have a cervix. I can't make this kind of stuff up, folks. The people in Jolly Old have gone absolutely out of their minds. The advice comes from a 24-page booklet published by Public Health England called Information for Trans People. Trans people who register with their GP as their birth sex will be invited to screenings appropriate to that. But if they register as they gender, they identify as they will not be. Boy, that is convoluted. In the trans man born female registers as male, he won't be invited for routine breast screenings at 50. Jeez, I wonder why. Because he doesn't have mammary glands, maybe? Maybe, just possibly. Or cervical screening. However, if a trans woman registers as female, they will be routinely invited for cervical screening. Now, cervical cancer claims the lives of 900 women each year in Britain, and it is believed the number would be four times higher without screening. Screening saves lives by spotting cancer early so treatment can begin sooner. Those who are not screened are more likely to develop a more advanced cancer, which can be fatal. Men identifying as women will also miss out on getting tested for a blood vessel defect called an abnominal aortic aneurysm, or the old dreaded AAA. From the age of 65, men are invited to attend an ultrasound scan. AAAs are six times more common in... They got common here. Does anybody proofread this crap? AAAs are six times more common in older men than women, and if left untreated, can result in fatal artery rupture. The booklet warns any trans woman born male will have the same risk as a man and should consider accessing screening. But it adds, if you're a trans woman age 65 who is registered with a GP as female, you won't be invited for the screening. So confused. They can't do the proper test because the people can't figure out what sex they are. Wow. So a woman that's identifying as a man, but she has mammary glands, she dies of breast cancer, well, I guess you lose. Because you denied what God gave you. I'm telling you, folks, this is how cockamamie good old England has become. But have you noticed? This is how, look at where we're at here. I just dropped in to see what condition our condition is in. We're in the ICU right now. We got craziness in this country that's bursting the seams. By the way, Public Health England have said that screening invitations were automatically sent by computer and were based on the patient's registered age and sex. Women's campaigner Laura Perrins told the Mail on Sunday, We've got to the point where state collusion with this transgender agenda is endangering the health of women. It's ludicrous use of NHS resources to invite men for a cervical smear test, while it's immoral and dangerous not to invite women. This comes after the British Medical Association advised members not to call a pregnant woman expectant mother, but pregnant people instead. Wow. By the way, I had a thought during the last break about this cop shooting this 9-pound chihuahua because he figured it was a threat. Could you imagine, a lot of people like to keep exotic animals, and I'm not a big fan of people owning lions and tigers, but still people do. Could you imagine a gaggle of cops busting in a house and they're face to face
with a 600-700-pound lion. Now, you with your little 9mm, you know, you can yell all the expletives you want at the cat. He doesn't speak English. And they're real good at identifying aggression and threat. And even worse, you put a couple of your little stinking little 9mm in, and guess what you're going to do to that very large, angry cat? Yeah. And cats, folks, you know, the pet owners out there know what I'm talking about. Yeah, dogs can deliver a pretty good bite, puncture the skin, you know, rip a little flesh here and there. Yeah, they can do that. Have you ever been bitten by a cat? A little small domestic house cat. I had a cat. He was an Egyptian Mau. He had very sharp teeth and very powerful jaws. I mean, he used it. It was playful. He was being playful. He didn't know he was going over the pain threshold with me. But in his playfulness, he would munch down on me, and it would hurt. Could you imagine the bite that a 700-pound lion could give you? I've seen videos. I've seen male lions fighting. I saw a lion one time bite his opponent on the back. The bite was so egregious and so powerful that it snapped his adversary's spine. Made him a cripple right on the spine. You could hear it. You could hear the jaws. You could hear the spine snapping. And it was loud, a very loud pop. Could you imagine? I would venture to say that as fast as those guys came through that door, they'd go out back out the door even faster. Yeah. Now that I would consider to be possibly dangerous, but you know what? Ringing the doorbell and knocking on the door to serve a warrant, you know, because you guys are all about protecting yourself, aren't you? And that was the reason given. Two main reasons, and thank you, ex-mayor of L.A., for going over to Israel and learning the dynamic entry tactics. We didn't have SWAT teams. We didn't have this sort of thing. Well, it was the Israelis that taught us. Thank you very much. The two main reasons why they would do those dynamic entries was for the officer's safety. Okay? Couldn't imagine that somebody might be standing behind that door that's on private property that doesn't really take too well to people busting in bearing weapons with intent to shoot. And the other reason was given, oh, you know, if they're drug dealers, we don't want to give them time to destroy the evidence. Well, let me tell you something. If they were any kind of a drug dealer, they couldn't possibly get rid of the drugs fast enough. Okay? Upside down, topsy-turvy. And the cops, even the good cops out there, are starting to wonder, well, why? Why aren't people more friendly to us? We're here to protect and serve. Well, the egregious acts by some of your brothers in uniform suggest otherwise. I think it's time to clean up your own house and start calling a spade a spade. But that's just my opinion. All right, that'll do it for us today, folks. Don't forget, send me that email, pithy to the point. If you want to make a comment or ask a question, johnstatmiller@hotmail.com. For our liberal guests that started Air America tomorrow, I think this is going to be a hoot. I think it's going to be fun. At any rate, thanks for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.